Listen, learn.
IdeoCast.com.
Good morning. I'm Eileen Dillon, creator and host of Full Power Living. Welcome to the only show on international media that's dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. Be sure to sign on to our chat feature during this live show so that you can ask questions, make comments, and interact with your fellow listeners. And if you'd like to talk live with me or our guests today, our toll-free number in North America is 800-630-7858. That's 800-630-7858. Our format for today is a little different than usual. Our guest, Michael Fisher, has a wonderful talk that he recorded on CD, and it's so good that I want to just play the talk for you. And the really great part is that we also have Michael Fisher live with us today so that we can pause the speech periodically and you and I can ask questions about what he's telling us about the topic, which is the universe as a hologram. And so we ask you this question: how do you think things might differ if your universe just happened to be a hologram? Might this concept have an impact on your health, your thinking, or the conduct of your life? And that's what we're exploring today on Full Power Living. Michael Fisher is a highly respected, long-standing international practitioner of holographic or resonance repatterning, reflexology, and Jin Shin Jutsu. He has been trained in the core principles of the Body Talk system, and he's originally from South Africa, but he currently resides in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada, and he's worked with people all over the world, including the U.S., Italy, Scotland, Canada, and South Africa. And I think some of you may be listening to the broadcast today. We already have somebody saying aloha on the chat. So using his extensive knowledge in healing arts, Michael addresses each client's problems with right action, respecting the body's innate wisdom and turning each problem into the opportunity of healing and health so that a person can spiral upward into greater coherence and energy. You can find out more about him at healthy-life.ca, healthy-life, L-I-F-E.ca, on the web. Michael's an accredited teacher of empowering yourself with resonance repatterning. So welcome to Full Power Living, Michael. I'm so glad you're with us.
Thank you so much, Eileen. It's wonderful to be with you.
With our listeners to listen to this recording that I heard yesterday and was I heard it again yesterday and I was so impressed with it. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the first segment, which takes about 20 minutes. And then we'll come back and ask questions. So those of you who are on the chat, formulate your questions, your responses, and we'll be able to offer those to Michael when we return. So let's get started with the lecture.
The universe as a hologram. In 1982, a remarkable event took place at the University of Paris. A research team led by physicist Alain Aspect performed what may turn out to be one of the most important experiments of the 20th century. You did not hear about it on the evening news. In fact, unless you're in the habit of reading scientific journals, you probably have never even heard Aspect's name, though there are some that believe his discovery may change the face of science. Aspect and his team discovered that under certain circumstances, subatomic particles, such as electrons, are able to instantaneously communicate with each other regardless of the distance separating them. It doesn't matter whether they are 10 feet or 10 billion miles apart. Somehow, each particle always seems to know what the other is doing. The trouble with this feat is that it violates Einstein's long-held tenet that no communication can travel faster than the speed of light. Since traveling faster than the speed of light is tantamount to breaking the time barrier, this daunting prospect has caused some physicists to try to come up with elaborate ways to explain away Aspect's findings. But it has inspired others to even more radical explanations. University of London physicist David Bohm, for instance, believes Aspect's findings imply that objective reality does not exist, that despite its apparent solidity, the universe at heart is a phantasm, a gigantic and splendidly detailed hologram. To understand why Bohm makes this startling assertion, one must first understand a little about holograms. A hologram is a three-dimensional image. The three-dimensionality of such images is not the only remarkable characteristic of the hologram. If a hologram of a rose is cut in half and then illuminated by a laser, each half will still be found to contain the entire image of the rose. Indeed, even if the halves are divided again and then again, each snippet of film will always be found to contain a smaller but intact version of the original image. Unlike normal photographs, every part of a hologram contains all the information possessed by the whole. The whole in every part, nature of a hologram, provides us with an entirely new way of understanding organization and order. For most of its history, Western science has labored under the bias that the best way to understand a physical phenomenon, whether a frog or an atom, is to dissect it and study its respective parts. A hologram teaches us that some things in the universe may not lend themselves to this approach. If we try to take apart something constructed holographically, we will not get the pieces of which it is made. We will only get smaller holes. This insight suggested to Bohm another way of understanding Aspect's discovery. Bohm believes the reason subatomic particles are able to remain in contact with one another, regardless of the distance separating them, is not because they are sending some sort of mysterious signal back and forth, but because their separateness is an illusion. He argues that at some deeper level of reality, such particles are not individual entities, but are actually extensions of the same fundamental something. To enable people to better visualize what he means, Bohm offers the following illustration. Imagine an aquarium containing a fish. Imagine also that you are unable to see the aquarium directly, and your knowledge about it and what it contains comes from two television cameras, one directed at the aquarium's front and the other directed at its side. As you stare at the two television monitors, you might assume that the fish on each of the screens are separate entities. After all, because the cameras are set at different angles, each of the images will be slightly different. But as you continue to watch the two fish, you will eventually become aware that there is a certain relationship between them. When one turns, the other also makes a slightly different but corresponding turn. When one faces the front, the other always faces towards the side. If you remain unaware of the full scope of the situation, you might even conclude that the fish must be instantaneously communicating with one another. But this is clearly not the case. This, says Bohm, is precisely what is going on between the subatomic particles in Aspect's experiment. According to Bohm, the apparent faster-than-light connection between subatomic particles is really telling us that there is a deeper level of reality we are not privy to, a more complex dimension beyond our own that is analogous to the aquarium. And he adds, we view objects such as subatomic particles as separate from one another because we are seeing only a portion of their reality. Such particles are not separate parts, but facets of a deeper and more underlying unity that is ultimately as holographic and indivisible as the previously mentioned rose. And since everything in physical reality is comprised of these eidolons, the universe itself is a projection, a hologram. In addition to its phantom-like nature, such a universe would possess other rather startling features. If the apparent separateness of subatomic particles is illusory, it means that at a deeper level of reality, all things in the universe are infinitely interconnected. The electrons in a carbon atom in the human brain are connected to the protons in a hydrogen atom on the surface of the sun, and these are in turn connected to the subatomic particles that comprise every salmon that swims, every heart that beats, and every star that shimmers in the sky. Everything interpenetrates everything, and although human nature may seek to categorize and pigeonhole and subdivide the various phenomena of the universe, all apportionments are of necessity artificial, and all of nature is ultimately a seamless web. In a holographic universe, even time and space could no longer be viewed as fundamentals, because concepts such as location break down in a universe in which nothing is truly separate from anything else. Time and three-dimensional space, like the images of the fish on the television monitors, would also have to be viewed as projections of this deeper order. At its deeper level, reality is a sort of super-hologram in which the past, present, and future all exist simultaneously. This suggests that given the proper tools, it might even be possible to someday reach into the super-holographic level of reality and pluck out scenes from the long-forgotten past. This, in fact, is what is being done with holographic repatterning. For decades, numerous studies have shown that rather than being confined to a specific location, memories are dispersed throughout the brain. In a series of landmark experiments in the 1920s, brain scientist Carl Lashley found that no matter what portion of a rat's brain he removed, he was unable to eradicate its memory of how to perform complex tasks it had learned prior to surgery. The only problem was that no one was able to come up with a mechanism that might explain this curious whole in every part nature of memory storage. Then in the 1960s, Pribram encountered the concept of holography and realized he had found the explanation brain scientists had been looking for. Pribram believes memories are encoded in impulses that crisscross the entire brain in the same way that patterns of laser light interference crisscross the entire area of a piece of film containing a holographic image. In other words, Pribram believes the brain itself is a hologram. Pribram's theory also explains how the human brain can store so many memories in so little space. It has been estimated that the human brain has the capacity to memorize something in the order of 10 billion bits of information during the average human lifetime, or roughly the same amount of information contained in 5 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Similarly, it has been discovered that in addition to their other capabilities, holograms possess an astonishing capacity for information storage. Simply by changing the angle at which the two lasers strike a piece of photographic film, it is possible to record many different images on the same surface. It has been demonstrated that a cubic centimeter of film can hold as many as 10 billion bits of information. Our uncanny ability to quickly retrieve whatever information we need from the enormous store of our memories becomes more understandable if the brain functions according to holographic principles. If a friend asks you to tell him what comes to mind when he says the word zebra, you do not have to clumsily sort back through some gigantic and cerebral alphabetic file to arrive at an answer. Instead, associations like striped, horse-like, and animal native to Africa all pop into your head instantly. Indeed, one of the most amazing things about the human thinking process is that every piece of information seems instantly cross-correlated with every other piece of information, and the feature intrinsic to the hologram. Because every portion of a hologram is infinitely interconnected with every other portion, it is perhaps nature's supreme example of a cross-correlated system. The storage of memory is not the only neurophysiological puzzle that comes more tractable in the light of Pribram's holographic model of the brain. Another is how the brain is able to translate the avalanche of frequencies it receives via the senses, light frequencies, sound frequencies, and so on, into the concrete world of our perceptions. Encoded and decoding frequencies is precisely what a hologram does best. Just as a hologram functions as a sort of lens, a translating device able to convert an apparently meaningless blue of frequencies into a coherent image. Pribram believes the brain also comprises a lens and uses holographic principles to mathematically convert the frequencies it receives through the senses into the inner world of our perceptions. Researchers have discovered, for instance, that our visual systems are sensitive to sound frequencies, that our sense of smell is in part dependent on what are now called osmic frequencies, and that even the cells in our bodies are sensitive to a broad range of frequencies. Such findings suggest that it is only in the holographic domain of consciousness that such frequencies are sorted out and divided up into conventional perceptions. But the most mind-boggling aspect of Pribram's holographic model of the brain is what happens when it is put together with Bohm's theory. For if the concreteness of the world is but a secondary reality, and what is there is actually a holographic blue of frequencies, and if the brain is also a hologram and only selects some of the frequencies out of this blue and mathematically transforms them into sensory perceptions, what becomes of objective reality? Put quite simply, it ceases to exist. As the religions of the East have long upheld, the material world is Maya, an illusion, and although we may think we are physical beings moving through a physical world, this too is an illusion. We are really receivers floating through a kaleidoscopic sea of frequency, and what we extract from the sea and transmogrify into physical reality is but one channel from many extracted out of the superhologram. Numerous researchers, including Bohm and Pribram, have noted that many parapsychological phenomena become more understandable in terms of the holographic paradigm. In a universe in which individual brains are actually indivisible portions of the greater hologram and everything is infinitely interconnected, telepathy may merely be the accessing of the holographic level. It is obviously much easier to understand how information can travel from the mind of individual A to the mind of individual B if the minds of both individuals are already connected. Similarly, psychokinesis, the ability of the mind to move a distant object without touching it, also becomes less mysterious. For in an infinitely interconnected universe, the individual and the object being moved are already one. Bohm and Pribram have also suggested that many religions and or mystical experiences, such as a feeling of transcendental oneness with the universe, may also be due to the accessing of the holographic realm. As they note, perhaps the reason so many great mystics of the past have talked about experiencing a feeling of cosmic unity with all things is simply that they have learned how to reach that part of their minds in which all things really do possess cosmic unity. As Groff recently noted, if the mind is actually part of a continuum, a labyrinth that is connected not only to every other mind that exists or has existed, but to every atom, organism, and region in the vastness of space and time itself, the fact that it is able to occasionally make forays in this labyrinth and have transpersonal experiences no longer seems so strange. A turnabout in the way we view biological structures has caused researchers to point out that medicine and our understanding of the healing process could also be transformed by the holographic paradigm. if the apparent physical structure of the body is but a holographic projection of consciousness, it becomes clear that each of us is much more responsible for our health than current medical wisdom allows. What we now view as miraculous remissions of disease may actually be due to changes in consciousness, which in turn affect changes in the hologram of the body. Even visions and experiences involving non-ordinary reality become explainable under the holographic paradigm. In his book, Gift of Unknown Things, biologist Lyle Watson describes his encounter with an Indonesian shaman woman who, by performing a ritual dance, was able to make an entire grove of trees instantly vanish into thin air. Watson relates that as he and another astonished onlooker continued to watch the woman, she caused the trees to reappear, then clicked off again and on again several times in succession. Although current scientific understanding is incapable of explaining such events, experiences like this become more tenable if hard reality is only a holographic projection. Perhaps we agree on what is there or not there because what we call consensus reality is formulated and ratified at the level of the human unconscious at which all minds are infinitely interconnected. If this is true, it is the most profound implication of the holographic paradigm of all, for it means that experiences such as Watson's are not commonplace only because we have not programmed our minds with the beliefs that would make them so. In a holographic universe, there are no limits to the extent to which we can alter the fabric of reality. What we perceive as reality is only a canvas waiting for us to draw upon it any picture we want. Anything is possible, from bending spoons with the power of the mind to the phantasmagoric events experienced by Castaneda during his encounters with the yaki brujo Don Juan. For magic is our birthright, no more or less miraculous than our ability to compute the reality we want when we are in our dreams. Indeed, even our most fundamental notions about reality become suspect, for in a holographic universe, as Pribram has pointed out, even random events would have to be seen as based on holographic principles and therefore determined. Synchronicities or meaningful coincidences suddenly make sense, and everything in reality would have to be seen as a metaphor, for even the most haphazard events would express some underlying symmetry.
We've been listening to a pre-recorded talk by Michael Fisher entitled The Universe as a Hologram. Michael is with us live today to discuss these ideas, which we'll do right after this break. You're signed on to Full Power Living on ideocast.com, and I'm your host, Eileen Dillon. We'll be right back.
Ideocast.
You and everyone you know have been born to learn. All humans are on Earth to attend school. People know this intuitively, but they don't really live by it. And now you can. I'm Eileen Dillon. Born to Learn is the title of my latest book, available at emotionalpro.com. The result of 30 years of investigation, which gives you the big picture and the instruction book. Born to Learn gives you information you need to turn your problems into puzzles and then solve them. Life is kinder when we complete our homework assignments. Start today. Order Born to Learn at emotionalpro.com and get a leg up on your life. I want to remind you that you can call in with a question at 800-630-7858. That's 1-800-630-7858. 630-7858. That's toll free for people in North America. And I want to welcome you back to Full Power Living. We've been airing since 2004, and be sure to listen at 9 a.m. Pacific time every Thursday morning. Next week, we've got Mary Robinson Reynolds, who has a fabulous new movie that is part of her Make a Difference project that is fast spreading across the country. In May, we have best-selling psychotherapist Terry Real explaining the new rules of marriage, as well as former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today, Hara Morano, who's sharing her ideas from her just-out book about invasive parents who are raising, and this is the title of the book, A Nation of Wimps. We're back now with Michael Fisher, the highly respected, long-standing international practitioner of holographic repatterning, reflexology, and Jin-Shin Jitsu.
It's a form of active pressure.
So I want to explore a little bit about instant communication. You say it happens because everything is already a part of the whole, but since we don't do it very well, as you were just saying in the recording, it's because we haven't programmed our minds, but is that the only blockage? How did our ability to work with a hologram get blocked, and how does it stay blocked?
Well, I think that in everything, if something is not in our data bank, then we don't know how to access it. We progressively study and we go through our lives learning certain disciplines and certain things about ourselves and how to behave in society, et cetera, et cetera. But if it's not in our data bank, then we don't know how to utilize it. So that's why people are so very often astounded by this concept that we can communicate instantly. And of course, the means to communicate, there has to be a means. And this is what we were talking about, what he's talking about or alluding to. There has to be some sort of methodology. And fortunately, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, who is the founder of Resonance Repatterning, came upon this in her vast store of knowledge that she, you know, that she explored. And that is basically applied kinesiology.
So we've been talking about the founder of resonance or holographic repatterning, the person who worked this system out, Chloe Wordsworth. And I just want to draw your attention to the fact that Chloe was our guest on Full Power Living on our November 8, 2007 show, and it's on the archives. Please listen. Yes, actually, we have a number of comments and questions on the chat, so let's give a voice to those. One person comments that there's a lot more freedom and free will in a holographic universe, and then continues to ask, what are we learning while we occupy a, quote, separate, close quotes, belief or perceptual system?
Well, you know, I mean, we have to ask the question, what are we doing here in the first place, I suppose? My belief is that the mind and the soul are knotted together at the time of birth. And so the mind becomes a vehicle for the soul. So the question is actually, we're actually cumulatively learning more about ourselves. And that is the only thing that we take with us when we shuffle off. We're only here for a limited amount of time. And so we can't even take the dirt from under our fingernails. What we can take is our accumulated knowledge, and that's translated into wisdom. And so, unfortunately, we are curtailed very often by our different systems of belief with the particular worldly religion that we may be born into or particular philosophy, et cetera, et cetera. But if we start to take a more universal view of our lives and how we fit in, we start to learn that everything is possible. I don't know if that answers the question.
And the next question is, how can we use this information in our daily life?
Well, I think that it brings to our consciousness, into our consciousness that if we apply this into our daily lives, anything and everything is possible. We say that problems are something that we have that we don't want, and intentions are something that we want that we don't have. And so there are a lot of people, many people believe that if you really focus on something that it is that you really, really want in your life, and you continually put it out there, you must achieve the desired results. So it's really about keeping the mind focused on the positive rather than spiraling down into the negative. In the old Newtonian physics, if you went into chaos, there was only one way that you could go. That was straight or straight down. New Age physics teaches us that chaos is an opportunity for change. So we can either spiral down into greater and greater non-coherence or spiral up into greater coherence in anything that we want in terms of our lives. A greater, a bit better health, better relationships, more money, less anxiety, you know, so anything is possible in those terms. It's really about how vigilant we are in terms of how we live our lives, that we don't allow ourselves to go into these negative spirals.
It reminds me of the principle that I learned many years ago, that what we pay attention to, we tend to become. This is the explanation for how that works, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I would agree with that. Yes.
All right. Well, you have so much interesting material on this recording that I think we need to go back now and listen to the next two sections in which you're going to be talking a little bit more about reality and what we know about reality, and also about how this can be applied to medicine and healing. And the part that I like is the explanation for why each of us is a magnificent energy being. So let's go back to that.
Yes, I think it'll answer some of the questions that have already been asked.
Good. All right. See you on the other side.
Right.
Why you should be aware of quantum physics. So, Nobel Prize-winning physicists have proven beyond doubt that the physical world is one large sea of energy that flashes into and out of being in milliseconds, over and over again. Nothing is solid. This is the world of quantum physics. They have proven that thoughts are what put together and hold together this ever-changing energy field into the objects that we see. You have five physical senses: sight, sound, touch, smell, and taste. Each of these senses has a specific spectrum. For example, a dog hears a different range of sounds than you do. A snake sees a different spectrum of light than you do. And so on. In other words, your set of senses perceives the sea of energy from a certain limited standpoint and makes up an image from that. It is not complete, nor is it accurate. It is just an interpretation. All of our interpretations are solely based on the internal map of reality that we have, and not the real truth. Our map is a result of our personal life's collective experiences. Therefore, everything is about self. Our thoughts are linked to this invisible energy, and they determine what this energy forms. Your thoughts literally shift the universe on a particle-by-particle basis to create your physical life. Look around you. Everything you see in our physical world started as an idea that grew as it was shared and expressed until it grew enough into a physical object through a number of steps. You literally become what you think about most. Your life becomes what you have imagined and believed in most. The world is literally your mirror, enabling you to experience on the physical plane what you hold as your truth until you change it. Quantum physics shows us that the world is not the hard and unchangeable thing it may appear to be. Instead, it is a very fluid place, continuously built up, using our individual and collective thoughts. What we think is true is really an illusion, almost like a magic trick. Fortunately, we have begun to uncover the illusion, and most importantly, how to change it. What is your body made of? Nine systems comprise the human body, including circulatory, digestive, endocrine, muscular, nervous, reproductive, respiratory, skeletal, and urinary. What are those made up of? tissues and organs. What are tissues and organs made of? Cells. What are cells made of? Molecules. What are molecules made of? Atoms. What are atoms made of? Subatomic particles. What are subatomic particles made of? Energy. You and I are pure energy light in its most beautiful and intelligent configuration. Energy that is constantly changing beneath the surface, and you control it all with your powerful mind. You are one big, stellar, and powerful human being. If you could see yourself under a powerful electron microscope and conduct other experiments on yourself, you would see that you are made up of a cluster of ever-changing energy in the form of electrons, neutrons, photons, and so on. So is everything else around you. Quantum physics tells us that it is the act of observing an object that causes it to be there, where and how we observe it. An object does not exist independently of its observer. So, as you can see, your observation, your attention to something, and your intention literally creates that thing. This is scientific and proven. Your world is made of spirit, mind, and body. Each of those three, spirit, mind, and body, has a function that is unique to it and not shared with the other. What you see with your eyes and experience with your body is the physical world, which we shall call body. Body is an effect created by a cause. This cause is thought. Body cannot create. It can only experience and be experienced. That is its unique function. Thought cannot experience. It can only make up, create, and interpret. It needs a world of relativity, the physical world, body, to experience itself. Spirit is all that is, that which gives life to thought and body. Body has no power to create, although it gives the illusion of power to do so. This illusion is the cause of much frustration. Body is purely an effect and has no power to cause or create. The key with all of this information is how do you learn to see the universe differently than you do now so that you can manifest everything you truly desire. The renowned anthropologist Ruth Fulton Benedict once famously observed that from the moment of his birth, the customs into which an individual is born shape his experiences and behavior. By the time he can talk, he is the little creature of his culture. Dr. Benedict wrote these words back in 1931. She was actually observing a universal fact of life that has been true for every man or woman from every era in the history of humanity. It's a fact we've touched on before, but I want to explore it at greater length because it is so absolutely critical to your success. First and foremost, let us discuss freedom. Freedom from the constraints that keep you from calling forth and realizing your full potential, and freedom to experience all of the good and beneficial things you want in life. Yet, you cannot be free unless and until you know exactly what it is that governs, shapes, and directs the apparatus that controls your behavior and the results that behavior gets you. That apparatus being your mind, and more specifically, your unconscious patterns. Thoughts are things. Your thoughts create your life, and unconscious patterns are the very foundation on which thoughts are created. Unconscious patterns are your mindsets, your ideas, the little habits that your brain has developed over the years, the operating system on which your mental processes run. Effectively, your unconscious patterns create the prism through which you view and make sense of the world around you. information is presented to your mind in one way or another. Your mind runs through all of the things it already knows about that piece of information and figures out where it fits in with the bigger picture. When your mind makes a determination, the information in question is good or bad, friendly or unfriendly, desirable or undesirable, possible or not possible, all based on your existing unconscious patterns. Like most concepts, unconscious patterns in and of themselves are neutral. If your unconscious patterns are positive, you will make sound judgments, have a happy, growth-oriented life, good, strong relationships, a healthy self-concept, and the ability to adapt successfully to changes, upsets, and unforeseen events. On the other hand, negative, stilted, limiting, unconscious patterns keep people stuck in the old ways of thinking and doing that ultimately get them nowhere. Negative unconscious patterns keep a person as imprisoned as surely as do a cell and a set of iron bars. Maybe even more so, since it imprisons them in the place where all true freedom resides, the mind. It follows then that if you want to create change in your life, if you want to start getting new and different results, then you've got to change your unconscious patterns.
So we're going to be talking about how to change those unconscious patterns in our next segment. Check out Michael Fisher at www.healthy-life.ca for more information. And you're listening to Full Power Living. I'm Eileen Dillon. We will return.
IdeoCast.
Like the music on Full Power Living and want to hear more?
There is chaos among us.
It's from the new CD, Electric Lily Pad, by Becca's Frogland Orchestra. This tribal avant funk music is dedicated to our Mother Earth.
Priestess of Mother Earth, I serve the creature.
Get your copy of the Electric Lily Pad at beccasfrogland.com. That's Becca's with two K's, beccasfrogland.com.
Listening to Full Power Living. I'm the show's creator and host, Eileen Dillon, bringing you a fabulous presentation and discussion about the universe as a hologram with holistic repatterning, reflexology, and Jinshin Jutsu master, Michael Fisher. I'm going to get it. Let's listen. So I want to ask one question that's a couple of questions that came through, Michael. One is, do stars and puppy dogs exist outside our human's mind expectation, or is it all an illusion?
I didn't hear the first word. Do what?
Stars and puppy dogs. Exist outside our human mind's expectation, or is it all an illusion?
Well, there is a body of thought that actually says that the entire universe is in fact an illusion, and the word that is used is Maya, illusion, that this is the dream, and that actually when we wake up on the other side, that is the reality. But like any dream, when you're living the dream, it has a reality for you, and it can be a pleasant or an unpleasant reality. And that really just determines, I think, one's attitude to the way that we live our lives. There are many things in our lives that we have no control over, but the only thing we have control over is our attitude. And so the more inclusive we are, including stars and puppy dogs, the more open we are to anything that is possible. Of course, it requires examination and not gullibility in accepting whatever it is that comes into our lives.
All right. Thank you. I want to get the remainder of your talk in, but I want to pose a question for us to look at after we listen to the next segment. And that is how do can we support or design families that are holographic in orientation rather than separation oriented? Mm-hmm. So just kind of keep that in mind. And let's listen to the last part of the presentation, the shortest one of all, but also one that ties it up and tells you how resonance repatterning or holographic repatterning fits into this, okay?
Resonance. Resonance repatterning was developed as recently as 15 years ago by Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Since then, it has captured the attention of people all over the world. What is resonance repatterning? It is an extraordinary practical method to uncover and transform the energy constrictions and unconscious patterns that create any and every limitation we experience. It offers a new approach that changes how we perceive ourselves and our world. By applying the resonance repatterning process, we move out of resonance with life-depleting responses which underlie our pain, sickness, and unworkable relationships, and move into resonance with life-enhancing and energizing responses. The body and all matter is a pulsing field. The problems we face personally, socially, and politically often feel unchangeable. When we understand the holographic paradigm, we realize that Einstein's E equals mc squared is a positive fact in our lives. Einstein and new physics have proved that all matter consists of vibrating wave patterns of energy. This being true, all problems or symptoms of distress are also frequency wave patterns of energy. Frequencies can be changed as easily as we change the frequency or station on a radio or television. The only thing that is required is a system that allows us to do this easily and effectively. Resonance repatterning is one such system. The process enables us to change frequency wave patterns and transform the negative perceptions and beliefs that produce limitations in the form of poor health, difficulty in relationships, stress in one's work, mental and emotional upsets. The state of balance and imbalance in our energy system is determined by our generational history, archetypal patterns, and our unresolved energy constrictions, which occur when one or more of the 16 basic life needs were not met. For example, if the energy circuit that correlates to the solar plexus has lost its optimal frequency, we may find ourselves needing to control people, have power over others, or we may feel powerless and out of control. On an emotional level, we may find ourselves responding with anger, violence, intolerance, impatience, or a lack of joy. On the physical level, we may have digestive troubles or feel exhausted. On the other hand, if the energy circuit that correlates with the solar plexus is in its optimal frequency, because of positive generational history, archetypal patterns, an environment in which our basic life needs were met, we will automatically resonate with feeling alive, enthusiastic, warm, full of vital force, and radiant with energy. We will have the drive to put our ideals into action and the charismatic power to motivate and inspire others. We will be tolerant and forgiving and experience life with all its challenges as an adventure. The same optimal or loss of optimal frequency can be applied to each energy circuit in the body with the corresponding consequences relating to the circuit. Intentions we resonate with. An intention means an aim that guides action and outcome. In resonance repatterning, it is easy to demonstrate that people unconsciously fail to resonate with the intentions they most want in life: loving relationships, health, success, etc. and that they do resonate unconsciously with the very intentions they don't want. Poor health, unhappy relationships, inability to make a comfortable living, doing what they love to do. If our frequencies have lost their optimal level of pulsation, we will automatically resonate with life-depleting intentions. When our frequencies regain their optimal level of pulsation, we once more resonate with what is life-enhancing intentions. Is it possible to create a positive and extraordinary reality? In resonance repatterning, the answer to this question is yes, but only if we uncover the exact perceptions and energy constrictions underlying our issues. It is also essential to create new and positive perceptions in the present. Resonance repatterning is a process for doing this on oneself, family, and friends, as well as applying it professionally in the alternative health fields, education, business, and the arts. It demonstrates that we can change negative perceptions we resonate with and experience a positive and often an extraordinary shift in our lives. The process is the means for us to simply, effectively, efficiently, and lovingly find out what the body-mind system needs in order to make a quantum leap to a higher energy state. A higher energy state always manifests as health, inspiration, win-win communications, empowered relationships, integrity, and success in business, and consistent creativity in the arts and in one's life. When one or more of our 16 basic life needs are not met, whether this is our perception in the womb, in infancy, childhood, or adulthood, our energy system becomes constricted and our frequency wave patterns lose their optimal frequency of sound and light. When this happens, the body-mind system has no choices but to respond to life through unconscious patterns of negative resonance. Negative resonance is simply the outward manifestation, action, of a less than optimal frequency. It is like putting your foot on a hose pipe. The water no longer flows through freely. So with us, when the huge potential of our life energy only dribbles through the hose pipe of our body-mind system, we can no longer live life fully. We can only get through it, but at the price of losing our potential for joy and well-being. A businesswoman expressed the beginning of her return to life when she wrote, "Two or three hours after my session, I felt my fear lifting. That was the first waking hour of my life that I had been without fear." When we merely exist, it means that we have resigned ourselves to our pain and inadequacy, rather than taking up the commitment and challenge to free ourselves of life-depleting habits and responses and manifest the full light of our consciousness. As we bring our frequencies into optimal resonance, we automatically create new possibilities for action and unlimited ways of being. This is living.
Wow. Thank you so much, Michael. It certainly gives a lot for people to think about. Now, we've got this here, and it will be archived on the internet, but can people get a copy of this CD?
Yes. If you go to my my website, which in turn will take you to my internet, to my email, and they email me, I can certainly let them have a copy.
Okay, and that site is healthy-life.
It's M.E. Fisher. At healthy-life.ca. M.E. Fisher, one word, at healthy-life.ca.
And I'll call that F-I-S-H-E-R, too,
That's
just in
right.
case.
That's right. Okay. And they will discover that on my website as well, which is easier to access as you've given it out, healthy-life.ca.
Great. So let's get back to that question that was asked. Clearly it would be helpful, most helpful in this world to start people out a lot more involved in the whole awareness of living in a hologram. And so the question was asked, what would we have to institute? What kinds of rules? What would you think we'd have to do in order to get people to teach their children and live in families in a holographic way as opposed to a separate orientation?
I'm going to give you perhaps an example to keep it as simple as possible. I don't know if you've heard of the Karpman Triangle. The Karpman Triangle consists of the victim, the perpetrator, and the enabler. Now, that's where we become non-coherent and where many people live their lives. And if you watch yourself becoming a victim in any situation, in any family situation, any interpersonal relationship, whether it's in a business environment or whether it's at school or whether it's with parents or siblings, et cetera, and we find that we become the victim, very often from victim we then end up becoming the perpetrator. And then there's the possibility of somebody always wanting to save a situation and becoming the enabler. And very often that becomes, for just as an example, it can become the mother in a family unit and so on. So I think if we're vigilant about watching ourselves in those terms and stepping out of the triangle, trying not to be the victim, trying not then to be from being the victim to becoming the perpetrator and so on, it requires tremendous vigilance. And the overlighting presence in anything is always love. There are only two emotions. One is love, the other one is fear. If we find that we're coming from a place of fear, which causes anger, which causes jealousy, which causes hatred, and so on, we know that we're being non-coherent. And it doesn't feel good for us. But if we come from the place of love, and if we use this sentence, what is the most loving thing that I can do under all circumstances, under this particular circumstance? What is the most loving thing that I can do for all concerned? So it requires a tremendous amount of vigilance. Because these are the spiritual materialistic lessons that we need to learn in our lives that we take with us right through our lives and make us more coherent and then gives us we're then empowered to have better relationships, better health. It devolves on every aspect of our lives.
So then it sounds to me like what came up as you were talking at any rate is that vigilance and empowerment are important aspects. For example, if I'm parenting a child, I will want to help the child to empower him or herself and not be a victim or an enabler or a perpetrator in any situation, but to come from love and empowerment, which also means as a parent that I have to learn how to empower myself.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Because, you know, our original gurus, our original teachers are always our parents, our mother, our father, and then we're passed on to various teachers in our lives when we go to school and when we interact with other people. And so we go through life and it becomes a cumulative effect. We go to high school and then we may go to college or a university and take a PhD and become a master and then perhaps a doctorate and so on. Well, that is how we actually learn about our lives as well. And people can go through life either learning those lessons about themselves by choice or choosing not to. And of course, very often what happens then is that people anesthetize themselves against life with alcohol or drugs because they can't cope with life. So basically what they do is they use alcohol as an anesthetic or they use drugs as an anesthetic because they're basically not coping with life. And that very often is as a result of our very, very earliest beginnings. And that starts right in the womb. And then, of course, those very important formulative years from the age of 0 to 8, where we go from the right brain to more integrated left-right brain thinking. But in those early years, everything is about self. And we watch our parents and see, and we model ourselves. If we observe our parents fighting, then it becomes, it's my fault. Everything is about self in those early years. So, yes, our early teachers have to be as coherent as possible. And then we, in turn, pass that on in every aspect of our lives, in the way we connect and interconnect with people.
Now, and when I was... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, interdependent relationships rather than dependent relationships.
Yes. Interdependent. And one of the things that I focused on in my conscious parenting approach that I used with my children and also have taught others is how important individual choice is, that children learn from a very early age that choice is involved in everything, which means choice eventually leads to freedom because you can always change a choice. and it also helps you to learn, and you can change the choice from one experience to the next.
Yes, indeed. But I have to say this, the thing that holds us back, and that's why I spend some time talking about it, are our unconscious patterns. And what we do in this work is we change the unconscious patterns. We change the early programs so that people become more coherent. Because underlying every problem or every intention that we don't resonate with, that we don't seem to be able to fulfill, are these unconscious patterns. And so they've been formulated over 60 or 70 different unconscious patterns, and that's what we look for, to change the frequency around that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to just point out to people that one of the things you did for me was to give me a resonance repatterning session, and I chose to focus on an issue of money and abundance for myself, because my parents, there were many messages, but my parents basically controlled through money, and it's been a big issue for me and one that I want to put to rights before I die. And so I'd like to talk just a little bit about what that was like, that I posed the issue to you, that you worked in Vancouver, British Columbia, while I'm here in California. You did various things, including a specific time when it would be best to work on the issue. And then you pinpointed a time in my life that was holding the negative pattern. This is my interpretation. You feel free to correct me after I finish.
The beginnings of that negative pattern, yes.
Yeah, the beginnings of the negative pattern, which was at a time in my life, age 7, that I would not have looked at otherwise. I didn't connect it. But at age 7, I had been away for a year with my grandparents, and I was reintegrating into my family, and things were not going as I wished them to. I felt very left out, and like my father and sister had created a special relationship that I could no longer be part of, and I essentially closed down. And so you identified that pattern, and then you went and identified a new pattern to put into its place, which had to do with the fact that money is merely energy to be given and received. And we installed that in my subconscious mind using a visual pattern. Is that accurate for what?
That would be a simple summary of what was happening, absolutely. Because, you see, basically, because we do live in our minds, and because of this statement that money is energy to be received and given, it's really your attitude towards money. So if it started off as being a problem, now you can be more comfortable in your attitude regardless of whether you have a great deal of money or not. That's not to say that if you're putting the emphasis out there that the universe won't conspire to see that you do get a great deal of money. And that's happened dramatically through sessions that I've done with people where they had a very powerful positive intention. And lo and behold, I've had the phone call within 5 days to say that it manifested exactly as they had wanted it to.
Wow. Well, I want you to know I did go out and buy a lottery ticket, but my number didn't come up yesterday.
Yes, you may be a little patient. You have to be a little patient with that. The universe has its own agenda in terms of what it is that we need. By the way, not only do I do proxy sessions, but I do phone-in sessions as well, live phone-in. As we're on the phone now, people phone me. I have people that phone me from Birmingham. I have a client in Seattle, all sorts of places, actually, where people phone me in, and we have a session on the phone. And the only difference is that I would then proxy them in terms of the work that I'm actually doing and accessing it.
And I want to say, too, that while I didn't win the lottery, there was a definite change internally with me. For one thing, I felt very spacey for 4 or 5 hours, and I have felt much lighter and happier, more positive since that session. And I expect it to manifest in many ways that I have envisioned. So I want to thank you for that. And also, I thought by reviewing it from my point of view, that it might give people an idea of how you're actually putting this to work with specific issues, and how you can put it to work with almost anything. Is that not so?
Absolutely. We work at a physical, mental, emotional, or spirit level. And I have some particularly demanding cases at the moment, for example, at a physical level, and then a number at an emotional and mental level as well. And your description is quite interesting because that's most often the reaction that I get, that people say for a few hours afterwards or 5 hours afterwards, they feel spacey is the word, while they're busy integrating all of that new information into their bodies at cellular level, at subatomic particle level, the frequencies are actually changing. And the other word that they use most frequently is that they feel lighter. So it's interesting that there's always that synergy, and I get that reaction quite often.
Well, for once, I'm normal. Wow.
Absolutely.
I haven't been normal for most of my life. Well, listen, Michael, this has just been fabulous. I want to thank you so much for your gift of the resonance repatterning session and also for this very logical, flowing explanation. It really was wonderful when I encountered it, and I'm so happy to be able to share it with our listeners on Full Power Living. So thank you. I certainly feel like I've made a wonderful new friend in you, and I hope we'll do more work together as time goes on.
Eileen, it's been such a privilege to do this with you, and I must say that you're a wonderful host. You've made me feel so comfortable and so welcome, and I think that that's very, very important as well.
Oh, great. Thank you. All right. Well, I'll talk with you again.
Thank you. God bless.
Join us each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time for our live broadcast. And don't miss our discussion of the incredible Make a Difference project that is fast spreading over the nation. It's led by and developed by Mary Robinson Reynolds. And teachers are making a difference, and bus drivers are making a difference, and business people are making a difference, and you'll be very excited to find out about this simple but powerful project that she has going. Until next time, I'm your host, Eileen Dillon, thanking you so much for listening and reminding you to pay attention to what you want to become and not to what you want to overcome.
Ideocast. Ideocast.com.